right, let's open with a word of prayer and jump into our lesson this morning. I'm so thankful you're here. God's word is so good. We need it so much. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, it's true. We're desperate in living in our generation to be built, to be building our lives upon your word. It is what is sure. It will never change. It will never pass away. You keep your word. You're true to your word. May we be women of your word. And so speak to our hearts this morning, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking this week just about the Christian life. It really is such a journey that we're on with the Lord. Amen. You know, it's a journey. You know what? Thank goodness I'm not where I was. Last night I went to my 50-plus-1 high school reunion because we couldn't have it on our 50th because of COVID. And so they postponed it, and so they were calling it the 50-plus-1 reunion. And, you know, just meeting and going back in the past, and I said, oh, Lord, thank you that you brought me to where I am today. It's been a journey, and we all have our own God stories about when we felt like God was speaking directly to us. Have you ever had that moment where God is giving you a direct word? And one of my own God stories is that as a new Christian and as a young mother, I was really getting to know God through his word. I didn't have a spiritual background like many of you did. And so it was all so new to me. And so I would try to get up before my babies to have time in prayer and just to get into God's word. And that was hard to do because my children were such early birds. They would get up early, early. Now, I babysit Rosie. I want to tell you, that baby, I have to wake her up. She will sleep till noon. I'm like, where were you when I was having babies? She is the best sleeper. But as I was just getting up early, as I was very hungry to grow in my faith, and during one of those early morning times, I had been spending time in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, which is chapters 5, 6, and 7. That was Jesus' coming out sermon. That was his very first sermon. And what he said was so important. It's an absolute masterpiece. Everything you need to know about the Christian life is in the Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, in chapter 6, he was telling those people on the hillside that day, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Just look at the birds and just look at the lilies of the field. If God takes care of them, how much more will he care for you? You don't need to worry. Instead, Matthew 6:33, and this is the verse that just pierced my heart that morning as a young mother sitting there. This verse, but seek ye first, and it's on your handout, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, everything else will be added unto you. Now, I can just remember sitting there that morning, and we were on a very tight budget, and the babies were coming like crazy. I had 5 babies in 7 years, and babies are expensive. And I can remember asking myself this question, could this verse be true? This sounds too good to be true. And as I was sitting there looking at that verse, I determined in my heart that I would set my heart to believe the Word of God. I would set my heart to be a woman who would be one who would seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then to be a woman that would trust God to add everything else. Because when you have all those babies, you think about all the what is, what are the, and all the things that are ahead, and how expensive all that is, and how's this going to work out, and all of those questions, and you have a tendency to worry. Now, I'm a much older woman today In fact, I'm an old woman. And this is my testimony to you. God's word is true. You can build your life on God's word. I have not been disappointed. And so Jesus was launching into his ministry, and he's right at the beginning. But the scripture I want us to be looking at, and this is part two of a lesson I started last week, it comes out of Luke chapter 12. And what we're going to find out is that it's the same sermon. It's the same sermon that he started with. In fact, if you read through the Gospels, he's going to be giving that same sermon over and over again. That was his message about the kingdom. Now, look at your scripture. Look at Luke 12. And last week we underlined some phrases. And if you weren't here, I just want to point them out again. Go to verse 22 and underline this phrase, "Do not worry." Do not worry. This is Jesus talking to us this morning, ladies. Go to verse 29. Do not keep on worrying. And then jump down to verse 32. He says to them, do not be afraid. Now, I told you in the beginning, this is a verse for an overcomer. And so being an overcomer means I can live my life being free of worry, free of anxiety, free from fear. Did you even know that was possible this morning? And I'm telling you this morning, that is the gospel message. It's part of the gospel. It's such good news. Jesus is offering us this right here in the gospel of Luke to eliminate anxiety. Now that just sounds so good to our ears this morning. Now let's review. Look at your handout. We see there are two realms in which we can worry. The physical, and that would include what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, all the details of your physical life. And then there's the spiritual level, which is a deeper meaning. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Look at verse 22. Jesus says, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Now we have to answer this question. Who is Jesus speaking to here in this chapter? Well, he's speaking to a group. It would have included his 12 apostles. And then there were others in the group. This was a large group. Many of them already had believed in him, and they were following after him. And then there were those who were trying to decide just what they believed about Jesus. They were curious about him. And really the thing that drew them all together was the fact that Jesus was a miracle worker. And I mean, if you knew there was a miracle worker somewhere, would you not want to go see him? I would. And so that was drawing a lot of people there. And so you have those who had already decided, and you had those who were in the process of deciding. And he is explaining to them all just exactly what life in the kingdom looks like. And so right as he's in the middle of his talk, I can just see this. Some man just barges right into the middle of the crowd and says to him, Jesus, you tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance. And he is some kind of mad. And Jesus says, let me tell you a parable. And see, there was this rich man. And this rich man had a lot. In fact, he had so much, he tore down his old barns and he built bigger barns. And he was filling his barns, you know what, to spend all on himself. He was laying up his riches and he said, you know, I am just going to eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus, God called that man a fool. You are a fool. And the reason you're a fool is because tomorrow, this very night, your very life will be required of you. You will die. And your riches will just go to someone else. Now, there was a point to the parable, and here's the point. Jesus said, and this is all in previous verses in Luke chapter 12. And the point is this, don't lay up riches for yourself on earth. You need to be rich toward God. In other words, you choose to live your life with an eternal focus. Then immediately after he tells this parable, He comes to verse 22, and look at it with me again. He says, for this reason, because you need to live a life that is rich toward God, and not just laying up things for yourself on earth. You don't need to fear. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, because your God, if you will put your focus on Him, He'll take care of everything else in the physical. Because your life is more than what you eat. It's more than what you wear. You are an eternal being made in the image of God. Now, here's the deal. We are the ones who make the choices in life as to where we're going to lay up our treasures, either on earth or either in heaven. Either I'm going to live for myself, to myself, selfishly, or I'm going to live to God. I want to be rich towards God. And so, for this reason, Jesus says, don't be fearful. Don't be afraid to release your life and live this way. And that is because God is going to take care of you. Now, last week we said, just think about it. If God is the one who feeds the birds, if He is the one who beautifies the grass of the field with amazing, stunning lilies, then He is going to take care of you. In other words, coming under into His kingdom, being His disciple, means coming under His care. Now, last week we wrote down some things about worry. Let's review. We got five of them, and there was one more. So let's review. The first one is this. Worry is a failure to understand that I am here as God's child to fulfill a divine purpose, and God will sustain me until the end. In fact, we said we will be sustained by our Creator until our purpose for our lives ends. He obligates Himself to take care of us. Look at number two. Worry is a failure to understand that if God takes care of the animals who only give Him glory in a very limited way, how much more is He going to care for us? And then in verse 24, Jesus says, well, just look at the ravens. They don't sow, they don't reap, they have no storeroom, no barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you? If God feeds the birds that give Him glory in a limited way, don't you think He's going to take care of you? And this was a technique I told you last week that Jewish teachers would use. They would teach lessons from the lesser to the greater. From the birds, which are the lesser of God's creation, to the greater, which is you. We're the crown of His creation. Here's number three. Worry will not lengthen your life. Look at verse 25. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? You see, God is sovereign over life and death. You've already had every day you're going to live is recorded in a book. He's not surprised when you died. He is the one who has ordained when you are born and when you are to die. So if you belong to Him, there's no need to worry. You see, I'm just going to set my heart to serve Him and to trust Him to provide everything I need. Now, the thoughts that are going along with this talk Jesus is giving is so rich. These are rich thoughts for us to consider this morning. And He's saying to those who are in His kingdom, there is absolutely no need for you to be anxious. You just set your heart to live a life that is rich towards God. You set your heart to live a life that's laying up treasure in heaven. And don't hold so tightly to the things of this earth, because worry makes no contribution to your life. Here's the fourth thing I have to hurry. Worry is a failure to understand God's preference for you. Now look at verse 27. Just look at the lilies. Just look at the grass in the field. Go to the end of verse 28. How much more will God clothe you, you men of little faith? And now Jesus turns from the issue of what you will eat to the issue of what you're going to wear. And that's a big issue for us. I mean, last night I just had a complete fashion crisis. What was I going to wear to my 50th anniversary? And Castles was closed. I couldn't go down. We care about what we look like, don't we? And he gives a comparison that shows us God's preference for his children. And once again, he uses this Hebrew argument from the lesser to the greater. Let's look at it. He said, you don't think God would put that kind of beauty on a flower and not array you in beauty as well? I mean, if God gives such lavish beauty to clothe the fields that die in a matter of days, and they have absolutely no spiritual value, how much more will he take care to clothe the very crown of his creation, the very bride of his beloved son? And by the way, if you live in fear, doubt, and worry, you're going to fall into the category that's mentioned at the end of verse 28. Look at it with me. It's a category called men of little faith. And we said this last week. Fear, worry, and anxiety is really just the result of us not believing God. That's just the simple line. Just not trusting God. Just not believing that his word is true. And I'm just going to say, I say this a lot of times when I'm reading my Bible. I say, that's too good to be true. But yet, is it either it's true or it's not. And either God tells the truth or God's a liar. And which one is it? He's truthful. And a lack of believing what God has promised to his children is a lack of faith. So why the fear? Why the anxiety? Why the panic? Because if we know the promises that he makes to us as his children, if we'll embrace those promises, if we'll believe those promises, if we'll understand who our God is, how powerful he is, it all really boils down to me trusting in what he tells me is true in his word. I remember as a young Christian, I used to just write scriptures everywhere. I'd put them all in my kitchen window. And I would take that verse and just put it up there. And then during the day, I would just read it again and again. And I would just build my faith. God, your word is true. I think this truth is so fresh to us this morning. Even though we're reading a word that was spoken thousands of years ago, it's fresh. It's a word to you and a word to me this morning. It's a living word. And it's for us. And we're living in what I believe to be the most stressed out, the most anxious generation that has ever lived. And this is really good news. Because Jesus is calling us. And he's saying to us, Teresa, don't worry. Don't be stressed out. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. That is the gospel. Being a part of his kingdom means that I don't have to do that because he will take care of me. And I really believe that. And as an old woman, I look back and I have the testimony that that is true. And not to believe him is nothing less than unbelief. And that is a sin problem. Now, he wasn't saying that those listening to him that day didn't have any faith. He said, you are men of little faith. Struggling with worry and fear and anxiety doesn't necessarily mean I'm not saved. It doesn't necessarily mean I don't have any faith. It could mean that I'm just one who has little faith. But the reality is that coming to Christ and being born again into his family means I really can trust him. I really can cast all of my care upon him. I can trust him with my life. Now, I'm just saying, this is a promise, ladies. You can build your life up this morning. This is a promise for us living right here, right now, in August of 2022. Let's look at number 5. Worry is a failure to understand that God is our Father. Go to verses 30 and 31. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But you seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. And now, for the first time in his speech, Jesus speaks of God as his Father. You see, if you're a kingdom woman, that means God has adopted you, and he is now your heavenly, your good, your all-knowing, your all-powerful Father. Now go back to the verse, and I want you to circle a word there. Circle the word knows, that's right in the middle of the verse. It says, but your Father knows what you need. Can you look at me right now? God knows. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. He's so personal. And he knows. Do you ever just feel like nobody cares about me? Have you ever just said, God, where are you? Do you even see me? Do you know that I'm so needy? And the answer is yes. Yes, he knows. Let that encourage your heart this morning. And not only does he know, but he acts as a father acts. I love that. Fathers provide for their children. Fathers protect their children. Fathers make available to their children everything their children need. Is that not true? So I'm looking at you this morning and I'm speaking on behalf of Christ. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. Now, Teresa, how do I tap into this kind of living? Well, go back and let's see what Jesus said the key was to tapping into this kind of a lifestyle. And it comes there that if you, and I've lost my place here, go back to the verse, and now I'm coming into where I picked up last week, that if you will seek him first and his kingdom, everything else will be added unto you. Now, that has got to be the dominant force in your life. You've got to be a kingdom woman. You've got to be about his glory, his gospel. Your focus is, Lord, I want to live my life as an offering unto you, which is what worship really is, presenting yourselves to God to be living sacrifices for him, proclaiming him. Listen, living beautiful, obedient lives. You're one who is going to be pursuing truth and love. Look at Colossians 3:1 on your handout. It says, if you've been raised up with Christ, in other words, if you're a kingdom woman, then this is what you need to do. Keep seeking the things above. In other words, quit seeking all the things below on this earth. You got to have a heart for God. Live your life for the kingdom. And the promise is all these things will be added unto you. And let me just say, you know what? God is really good at adding a lot more than what you need as well. He's a blesser. He is a blesser. Then you take what he gives and you're to be a good steward of it. You're to seek his honor, seek his glory. Proclaim him in your circles as your Lord, your Savior, your King, your ruler. Bow the knee to him. Submit to him. Learn his word. Come under his authority. Your whole life is to be kingdom directed. And so Jesus says this. Let me say it again. If you'll seek the kingdom of God first, now listen, everything else will be added unto you. Stop it. Stop it. Could that be true? I mean, you're kidding me. What a stunning promise that is. Don't let that just roll off. Oh, yeah, everything else be added to me. Ha ha, give me a piece of gum. Ladies, everything you need will be added unto you. Now, I'm just going to ask you this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe God is telling the truth here? It's just amazing. You're going to live out the full years of your life. You're going to have provision because God cares for his own. He is not stingy. He gives in abundance. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I personally do not want to be a member of the Little Faith Association, okay? And I don't want to join the worry, fear, and anxious society. I want to seek God. I want to be a Bible-believing woman. I want to experience His lavish provision. Now, let's go to the last thing about worry, number 6. Worry is a failure to understand what God takes pleasure in. This may turn into lesson number 3 next week because I'm so slow. I'm so sorry. Now, here's a question. What does God take pleasure in? That's a good question for us to consider this morning. For example, here's what Hebrews says. It pleased God to bruise Christ. Did you know that? God found pleasure in the death of His Son. Can you imagine that? How could that be? Well, that was because He was becoming the propitiation that would bring redemption to the world. And in that light, God took great pleasure in His sacrifice. And it also tells us that Jesus Himself even found pleasure in dying. Hebrews tells us He did it for the joy that was set before Him during the cross. So what does please God? Where does God find His pleasure, His delight? Well, this takes us to verse 32 in our chapter 12. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen to gladly give you the kingdom." And one thing I want to point out to you in this verse, He doesn't say, look at it. God has chosen gladly to give us something out of the kingdom, a part of the kingdom. No, it says He has chosen gladly to give us fully the kingdom. Now let's look at that word gladly. What does it mean? It means to delight in, to take pleasure in. And so what delights God is to give you and I everything we need, every resource in His kingdom. Now, what exactly is the kingdom of God? Let's talk about that for a minute. Look at Romans 14:17 on your handout. It says there, for the kingdom of God is 3 things. It's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So everything that brings righteousness, joy, and peace is in the kingdom. Listen, God delights to give you this. What would you ever worry about? Why would you fear? Why are you anxious? And look at verse 31. Just seek the kingdom and everything you need will be added to you. It's just such an astounding promise. Again, it brings joy to God to do this for us. He's not stingy in any way. Now look at Romans 8:17. And that just calls us joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs. We're equal heirs with Christ. Everything that He is going to inherit is ours as well. I'm just telling you what the Bible says this morning. That's a staggering reality. When you become a Christian, when you're born again, you are a kingdom recipient. So let's write this on our handout. There are different aspects to what we call the kingdom of God. Number one, there is an eternal aspect. That's one way to look at it. Because, you know, our destiny is going to be in a future, eternal, perfect kingdom. And then number two, there's a millennial aspect. And I will check for spelling. I never have learned how to spell that word, millennial. You see, because there's coming at the end of earthly time, a period of 1,000 years where Christ is going to come and rule and reign on earth, and we will be here too in our glorified bodies ruling and reigning with Him. That's another aspect of kingdom. And then thirdly, and this is the one we're really talking about today, it's called the present reality of the kingdom. And that's for us right now, here on earth. Yes, there's a lot to come for us, but don't miss the fact that the kingdom is ours right now. Look at Romans 8:32 on your handout. It said, He, God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely, circle that word, freely, give us all things? Just listen to that verse with your heart this morning. He gives it to you how? Freely. It's his joy. Let's hear what Peter says. Go to 2 Peter 1:3. He says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us how much? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Wow. And then Paul says this in Philippians 4. It's my God is going to supply all your needs. How many of your needs? How many?
All
your needs. According to his riches in glory. And look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. I mean, how many superlatives can he use there? Just look at it again. All grace abounding, all sufficiency in all things, and abundance for all good deeds. I mean, you just have access to over-the-top resources. They're available to us as kingdom women. So listen, what are you worrying about? Why are you anxious? Why are you stressed out? God isn't reluctant. God is a good father. Now go back to verse 32 and notice the little phrase, little flock. Little flock. He says, do not be afraid, little flock. Do not fear. And I think that tied up in that phrase, little flock, is the recognition of just how vulnerable we really are. It's easy for us to feel overwhelmed in this world, isn't it? I mean, Christians through the years have experienced tremendous pressures and hostilities. And so that phrase, little flock, it just means so much because we're his little flock. We're his lambs. And if you know anything about sheep, they're the most helpless animals in the whole animal kingdom. And they have to be cared for by a shepherd. They're feeble, they're small, they're easily overwhelmed, they're insignificant animals. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how small, how insignificant, how needy or weak we are, God is our Father, and he has gladly chosen to give us the kingdom. And he's done it freely. Now, I'm going to just ask you this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe it? And so we're saying that coming into God's kingdom means that you need to never be anxious because he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care. We can let go of earthly things. We can fix our hearts, our lives, our minds, our purposes on heavenly things. And God is going to provide for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the sound of this morning. I'm teaching this to myself, and it's making me feel so good. You know what we need to do, ladies? We need to be women who think biblically. We do. We need to know the Word of God. That's why, see, I put these scriptures in my window, because I need reminding of them all the time. I've got to have my mind transformed. And it's hard to imagine sitting there and listening to Jesus say all of this and then to say, oh, this was really fun today. I liked being here, but I'm not interested. I mean, personally, I just really enjoy being stressful. And I really like being afraid and worrying a lot. And no one's really like that. But this is Jesus talking to us today. He's telling us through his written word. Come into my kingdom. Experience my Father. You'll never need to worry again. He knows everything you need. He'll make sure you have everything you need. And I'll just say this morning, no one in their right mind would walk away. Well, Teresa, why doesn't the world just rush into the kingdom of God? I mean, it's really, this is an astounding offer. Why don't they just rush in? And I'll tell you why. Go to verse 33, and you'll see. Because there is a catch. And I can just imagine that there was a buzz going through that crowd to whom Jesus is speaking. And this is pretty amazing stuff. And you want to enter the kingdom. Then verse 33, listen to what he tells them. Go sell your possessions and give to charity and make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth corrupts. I mean, Jesus says, now if you want my Father to take care of you and you're going to come into my kingdom, then you just go give up everything. That's what he's saying. Now, if I were to ask you this morning this question, how do people enter the kingdom of heaven? What would you tell them? You would say, well, just pray this little prayer and believe this about Jesus. No, you see, there's something else. There's a catch. And he's saying, by selling all your possessions, giving everything away, wow, wait a minute, Teresa, what are you talking about? That's not how you enter the kingdom of God. I mean, that just sounds so radical. It almost sounds like opposite to the gospel that I've heard. Well, let's just jump back to Matthew 6 and hear what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. Go there. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where the thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then listen to Luke 14:25. If anyone comes to me, this is so hard, and doesn't hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What is that about? I mean, I got to give up all my money. I got to give up all my family. I mean, here's the deal. And we're going to close with this. Jesus is offering his kingdom, but there is a cost. And it means you give up everything and you embrace him and his kingdom. It's like Luke 14:28. Someone is going to build a tower. And Jesus says, no, before anybody invests all that money to build a tower, they're going to first sit down and calculate, do I have enough resources to do that? And then look at Luke 14:31 on your handout there. I didn't write the scripture, but he compares it to being like a king who's going out to battle. What king would go out and fight before first sitting down and considering, do I have enough troops to win this battle? And so look at verse 33. It says, you cannot be my disciple if you don't give up all your possessions. And what he's saying is here, you have to abandon your own life. It's kind of like James and John and Peter. Jesus came and they were fishermen. And in Luke 5:11, when they had brought their boats to land and Jesus called them, guess what they did? They left everything and they followed him. And verse 28 talks about Matthew, who was a tax collector. And Jesus came to him and said, follow me. And look what he did. He left everything and followed him. And so, listen, this is what I'm saying this morning. This is not some trick way to manipulate God to get the goodies, okay? This is about you giving your all to God and following him. And salvation is a radical thing. It is an exchange life. I give all that I am to him. He gives all that he is to me. And the answer is, are you willing to do that this morning? Do you desire more than anything else to be a kingdom woman? The invitation to live in his kingdom, it's an invitation to be submissive to him. He is King Jesus. I'm not Queen Teresa. He's King Jesus, and I bow my knee to him. It's a radical thing to live for Christ. But I will say this, it's the most exciting way to live that there is. Amen. So it's a challenging lesson this morning. So I can cling to all the world offers, or I can let go of the world and embrace the kingdom of God. And that's our challenge this morning. And it is a radical way to live. And the result is no need to fear, no need to worry, no need to be anxious. My God is going to supply my every need. And I don't have to worry about the future because He has a purpose for my life, and I'll live until that purpose is fulfilled. And then He'll take me to be at home with Him. And I just get to enjoy the ride. I love seeing Him provide. I've tried Him over and over and over in my life. He has not disappointed me. He is one you can trust. But He is a jealous God, and He wants all of your life. Now let's be the class who is the member of the Great Faith Club. Not men of little faith, not women of little faith, but women of great faith. Let's pray together. Our Father, that might be true of us, that we would be women of great faith. Now we've considered these verses this morning, and they're thrilling to talk about. And yet it cost you everything to offer this to us. And it's so much fun being in your kingdom. It's so wonderful. It's so blessed. Father, we long to see you use us in our lives to impact our worlds, and you're calling us to live separated, holy lives, fully with hearts fully set on you and your glory. And so, Father, challenge us this morning through these words. Help us take these verses, meditate on them, believe them, embrace them, and live them. And may you use us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I finished it. Yay! Great, I wonder.